Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman. This program addresses the topics surrounding the inerrancy and the preservation of the Bible. Bruce Musselman was a pastor, Bible teacher, and conference speaker for over 40 years. He went home to be with the Lord on May 15th of 2020. These classic editions of Where is God's Word represent Bruce at his best, sharing the timeless truths from the Bible. So let's join Bruce now for this classic edition of Where is God's Word?
I'm so glad you tune in today, and I look out the window here at the studio and the leaves are coming out, and once again we see the handiwork of our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But one of the greatest things that God has done is He has given us His words, and Jesus Christ is called the Word of God. And He has not only given them, He has said by His power He would preserve them. And I want to read a few verses to start with about the Word of God that Jesus, in His high priestly prayer, in which Jesus prays for His saints and the people that would be saved for many years after that, prays. And it's found in John chapter 17, verse 8. Jesus said, "For I have given unto them thy words, which thou gavest me. And they have received them and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me." God's given us the words that the Father gave Jesus. "I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them." God has given us His word, and because of that, the world hates God's people that have God's word. "Because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." And it says God's word is truth. Jesus said that. And so we are to believe that today. "As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for thy sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through thy word." Now, Jesus said here is that His word is truth. And Jesus said, "Heaven and earth should pass away, may pass away, but my words will never pass away." And so today we believe that Jesus Christ is our solid rock, but He is our rock not only through the things that people heard Him say with their ears, but He is our rock through the words that He gave us. And the Christ that we believe in is found in those words. If these words have been perverted, or if these words have been omitted, or if these words have been changed, then we do not have a perfect Christ that we know, although we know that Christ is perfect. And so we're talking about which Bible is God's word. And some people, as soon as we talk about that, they have contempt for this. And someone has said that contempt before investigation leads to eternal ignorance. And I ask you today, have you investigated what I am going to be talking about? And that is Bible translations. And we believe that God has preserved His words, and that we have them today in the Authorized Bible, the Authorized King James Bible. For many years, I have been reading every book that I could get my hand on from every conceivable opinion on this subject, and I tell you that it has made a believer on me. What I found out is that 99%, as we have said many times, over 99% of the ancient Greek manuscripts, which our New Testament is based upon, back up the King James. And not only that, early church fathers quoted the readings of the King James. And when you see footnotes in your Bible, and sometimes they're in King James Bibles that say this isn't the best reading or the oldest and best, forget about that, because the earliest church fathers many times quoted it. For instance, the man named Ignatius of Antioch, pastor of the great missionary church in Antioch, Syria, that sent out Paul and Barnabas. And in 100, he died for Jesus Christ. And he is quoting 1 Timothy 3:16, and he quotes it. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed in the world, received up into glory. And that's the way the King James has it. But the modern versions do not say God was manifest in the flesh. They say he who. And there's always people say, well, what's the difference? You know, it's only one word. But when you add up hundreds of words that have been changed, there is a difference. And so you need to investigate and make sure you have the right Bible. Now, there's a number of statements that have been put out on this subject, and I find them to be lies. The Bible talks about lies. And one of the statements is made, and it goes like this: modern versions are an updating of the King James. When I was in college, they said King James was good for its day, but we need a modern translation. Many evangelicals recommend the New American Standard Bible. And so I got that Bible out, and I was going to use it, but I believe that the Holy Spirit is alive and well today. And when I read it, it just seemed like another book, and I have seen other people go through the same experience. And I go back to the King James, and it seemed to have power to it. And so although I had intended to use the New ASV, I dropped it. And I found out later on where it came from. And it does not come from the same set of Greek manuscripts. It comes from less than 1% of the Greek manuscripts. And it is based on Nestle's 23rd edition. And Nestle's Greek text originally, and this is stated by Ira Price, University of Chicago, Kenyon from England, and originally Nestle's Greek text was based on the official Roman Catholic Clementine Vulgate of 1592, put out by the Jesuits in the year 1592. And so Nestle's Greek text is another text. It comes from what is called the Alexandrian manuscripts, which are less than 1% of the Greek manuscripts, and they disagree constantly with one another. But the reason we talk about it, as we have said so many times, the modern versions take out the names of Jesus 100 times in the New Testament. Now, I have a paper and with me, and anybody that wants to call in afterwards, and we're going to give the phone number here, we will send you this paper. Now, last week, a number of folks called, and I haven't sent them out yet, but believe me, if you're listening today, I will send them out to you. And anybody that calls in after the program, we will send you out this list where Jesus has been taken out of his own Bible, which he wrote, which he gave us 100 places in the New Testament. Words like Jesus, Son of God, Lord, God, so on, have been eliminated. And so this is not just a minor issue. This goes to the heart of Christianity. And God gave us a Bible. Our Christianity is not based on our emotions. It's not based even on our experience. Although I believe we are to experience Christ when we're saved and we believe the Bible. But our Christianity is based on the Word of God, totally. And many other ideas in religion might sound good to us, but if they don't come from God's Word, they're not important. So we have to have the Word of God, the true Bible. And we will repeat this over and over again, that 99% of the Greek manuscripts that have come down to us back up the authorized King James Bible. But the modern ones are based on less than 1%, and they are very corrupt. Now, people today still tell me in most churches, every word of the Bible is true. And I agree with that 100%. Every word of the Bible is true. But actually, the pastors have been taught in so many schools While they say that, they have been taught that this refers to the originals. And you even have some church constitutions. They'll say something like this: the Bible is true, every word is true, the Bible is infallible, is inspired, and this is present tense, is a present tense word. And then it'll say, in the originals. So they'll say the originals are perfect and infallible, but what we have today has errors in them. Well, there's no such teaching in any Bible. Now, probably one translation will start to put that in, but there is no translation like that. Jesus referred to the Bible that he had as the Word of God and as absolutely true. He never corrected it. Now, Paul states that there are many that corrupt the Word of God. So even in Paul's day, there were people that put out corrupt versions of the Bible. But God tells us where his Word is. So if you say that every word is true, which one is the one that has every word that is true? And we say today that the 99% of the Greek manuscripts are right, and the King James, based on that, is right, because God said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. You say, well, this is an English translation. You think God doesn't know English? He made languages in the first place, and God says, with men of other tongues will I speak unto this people. And so he right there says he can speak another language, and he can preserve his words in the language that he wants to preserve them in. And the New Testament was given in the universal language of that day, the Greek language. But today the universal language is the English language that is learned all over the world. And so God, who said he'd preserve his word, he has given it to us. And the Bible says the word of God liveth and abideth forever. No matter the fact that most Greek professors that have not studied even textual history attack the King James doesn't mean that it is not true. And even though they attack it to the preachers, it keeps going on and on because it is the word of God. It's been attacked for 150 years, and yet it remains. And the other 400 translations have come out. They're on the around for just a short time, and then they disappear. Now, another statement is the Jehovah's Witness Bible is a bad translation. And we know the Jehovah's Witnesses teach what is called Arianism. They say that Jesus is a created angel, and he is a lesser god. That is polytheism. There are many gods. Well, there is only one God, and he is revealed to us in a trinity. And they criticize the Jehovah's Witness Bible. But if they have ever compared the 100 places where the names of Jesus are taken out with the Jehovah's Witness Bible, and I have done this, and I'm talking about the New ASV or the NIV or the, I don't know how many more have come out, and you compare it with the Jehovah's Witness Bible, it agrees with the Jehovah's Witness Bible against the King James. And you can check it out for yourself. Like I say, I'll send you the paper. You can get these Bibles and check them out. Well, let's continue on. And I was just thinking as this coming in today, maybe you have questions of things that have come up, and you like to you have a question that you'd like to give us, and we can talk about the question that you have on the air the next week. And you could either write us or you can call in with the question, and we can talk about that. Now, another thing that is brought up is they'll say only the originals are inspired. And if somebody says that, then they're saying inspiration ceases with the originals. Jesus said, the words that I speak are spirit and life. And those words in the Bible are living words. They have the breath of the Holy Spirit in them. And those words did not expire. The life in those words did not expire with the autographed copy, the original copy of the apostles. But the inspiration is passed on to us today. And so we have the living words of God. In Peter, it says, the word of God liveth and abideth forever. It's living forever and ever, and it abides with us forever and ever. And so we can thank God that it has the power to change people and to save people and so on. And then some people say, well, only the thoughts are preserved and the ideas are the thoughts. But if you want to check out something that I'm saying, get a concordance and check all the places. Now they have it on computers too, and a lot of you have computers. But you could check how a word is used and where a word is used. Today in the computers, it's amazing. But you can punch in one word and they'll either type out if you have something that will take it. And it'll type out every scripture verse in the whole Bible where that word is used and how that word is used. And or you can get on there and just look for yourself on each of the how the word is used. But the Bible makes a great point about the words. We call that the verbal inspiration. And so God said that he would preserve the words. The words of the Lord will abide forever. The words of the Lord, Psalm 12, 6 and 7, are pure words, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. And so God said that he gave his words, and he will preserve those words. When I first studied this subject, the first thing I did is I went to Winona Lake to a seminary up there, and I talked to the Greek professor, and he gave me a paper, and he said, there's no place in the Bible in this paper where God said he preserved his words. And I tell you, it shows how ignorant of the Bible that some of these people are. Even though they know Greek, they are ignorant. And I would say this of so many teachers, spending too much time at the television and not enough time studying, because God says over and over again that he gave his words. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words will not pass away. And so he said that he would preserve them. It's not man that will preserve them, but God will preserve them. Then some people say, well, you're making a big issue about nothing. And I see a lot of people coming down the pike, and they can take one little thing and make a huge doctrine or a huge issue about it. But the words of God are not a small issue. You know, if you're talking to your children and you tell them to do something and they don't pay attention or they don't listen or they change what you said, you wouldn't like that. And Jesus is very particular about this, and he makes a great threat to people that are changing his words. And he talks about it in the book of Revelation. I think it'd be a good time to read that right now. But he says right here, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words, W-O-R-D-S, of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. So he says, if you take away the words, well, the NIV and New ASV, they take just on the name of Jesus, as we've said over and over again, they have taken Jesus, Lord God, Son of God, out. I mean, and look what Jesus has just said about it. And that's been in for 1,900 years. Ever since Christ and the apostles, it's been in. But today in the modern versions, they take it out, see? So that's why we have this thing here. You say, well, what are you trying to do? The Bible says, in thy word do I trust. I'm not just a destructive critic. And I don't like just criticizing people, criticizing things. But I have a very positive approach, and that is, I want you to trust in the word of God. God says, in thy word do I trust. That's what this program is all about. Believe God's word. The Bible says all men are liars. But it says that in thy word do I trust. And Jesus, why don't we approach it like Christ? Jesus said it is written. He never said this is an unfortunate translation or a better reading is, or the original Hebrew says. He said it is written. And he never gave studies on words when he preached. He gave simple illustrations and quoted the word of God. He never gave Greek lectures on the Hebrew text. And Jesus spoke Aramaic, although he would have spoken Hebrew also. Now, somebody says, well, the final argument they use, well, you can't understand the KJV. And once again, I was just looking in the Gospel of John, and I was looking through some of these chapters and just reading them, and there's hardly any words in many of these chapters that I would say that a sixth or seventh grader can't understand. They can understand it, and the Holy Spirit will help you understand it. The Holy Spirit's the Spirit of truth, and it says he will guide you into all truth, and he will abide with you forever. The Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. That is, the Holy Spirit in your heart will guide you. And we have all truth in the Authorized King James Bible, and we ought to believe that we have it. And I believe that we can understand it. People are learning languages, and they can learn some of these words that they don't understand. The word sanctify, for instance, means set apart to God. And they can learn that word, and they can learn a few of these words. But they can understand. That seems to be the final argument. And that is used to take out and attack the name of Christ and change so many things. You know what's going on today? In seminaries where they're teaching preachers, and I've studied this, they're just passing on an attitude. They don't study in depth where the Bible came from. Because if they studied in depth and read a number of books on all sides of the issue is very clear. And what they have been taught, and they have passed on an attitude to accept a corrupt Bible. But I'm saying today, heaven and earth shall pass away. My word shall not pass. We have the word of God. Thank you. God bless you.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. We trust you've been challenged and encouraged by today's program. To receive a free handout listing the 100 verses in the New Testament where the names of Jesus have been eliminated in the modern versions, send your email request to bbteuclid@yahoo.com. That's bbteuclid@yahoo.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Bible Baptist Temple of Euclid. Pastor Andy Rusnacko and the congregation extend a cordial invitation for you to join them at their services. Sunday school is at 10:30, followed by morning worship at 11. The Sunday evening service is at 7, and the midweek prayer and Bible study is Wednesday at 7. Bible Baptist Temple is located at 1565 Chardon Road in Euclid. For complete ministry information, please visit online at BibleBaptistEuclid.com. That's BibleBaptistEuclid.com. Thank you for listening. This program is sponsored by the Bible Baptist Temple of Euclid, Ohio.